Good morning. This is Rainmakers on Monday, June 23rd. And Matt, it sounds like we're getting back to reasonable temperatures when anything that's two digits instead of three is kind of exciting.
At this point in the game, I'd say yes. We're actually 1 or 2 degrees below normal. So
that's what they say. We'll take it. We'll take it because it's going to be a long hot summer. But we're so excited to be here. Rainmakers is the Monday segment of The Morning Voice here on KVOI. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and I am so excited. As I continue to be every week, I have a special guest here with me this morning. We've got Tony Sims, Dr. Tony Sims, who is the new CEO of Compass Affordable Housing. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And we also have Carolyn Gorse, who's Director of Community Engagement with Compass Affordable Housing. Carolyn, it's nice to have you back in studio.
Glad to be back. Thanks.
We will be speaking today about many different things, not only housing proper, but really what it takes to keep households stable in a community, not only like Tucson, Pima County, but really what that means in Southern Arizona, what's going on in our whole state. And we're excited to talk about this topic because June, among many other things, June is known, often people are aware of June being National Men's Health Month, National Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. We've got Juneteenth. We've got Pride. We have Father's Day. So many things that really swirl around the men in our lives. And June, some people may not be aware, is also National Housing Month. So it's totally perfect that you all are here because all of those kinds of things go together. As they say, home is not only where the heart is, but home and housing is healthcare, as we've been talking about a lot, not only on this show, but really for years in our community, that wellness and well-being is such a stronghold of what makes a household sustainable from many facets. So I look forward to diving into some of those topics. But before we do any of that, want to very much tap into the fact that you as local leaders, as Tucsonans, have been touching into these topics for a long time. So maybe we start with you, Tony, a native who's also spent many years, you and I were talking at the break before coming on this morning, about your background and all your years in Colorado. Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah. Grew up here in Tucson, Arizona. Went to high school here, graduated, got a chance to go to Denver, Colorado, just off the chance that a friend, when I was in high school, invited me to go to a basketball camp with him. And I thought, yeah, I don't really want to do that. And he just pushed and pushed, and we ended up going together. I was 16, and I ended up meeting somebody there who I'd already known, who actually was running the camp. His name at that time was Fat Lever. It's Lafayette Lever. And he was running a basketball camp, and him and Calvin Natt, who was another player on the Denver Nuggets team, which was a surprise to me, but an enjoyable time. And so getting there, meeting some of the coaches on the University of Denver's basketball team, I ended up getting a scholarship and staying there 17 years.
In just world, a little bit.
Yep. My world expanded significantly at that point because I was a homegrown product here in Tucson. I didn't really know much about out of state. And so learning about a whole new culture, many new people, my social network expanded significantly, and so did my understanding of the world.
Wow. Well, that is, I think that's just such a testament of you don't know what you don't know. So when somebody encourages you, we have a phrase in another organization that works a lot with students, and they really talk about one of the best lessons is making sure to taste that pistachio ice cream. And it sounds like that's what you did. Your pistachio ice cream was trying out a basketball camp that you weren't really all that thrilled about doing, but you gave it a shot, and then it had this great impact on your life.
Yep, it did.
How fantastic. Well, I just have so many questions about the sports side, the analogies that probably that taught you over time. I mean, 17 years to be in another state and bring all that kind of knowledge back to Southern Arizona. What drew you back to to coming here after all that time?
You know, my family lived here at the time, continued to live here. My daughter was born. We wanted to bring her back, and so we wanted her to grow up around family. So we ended up coming back.
Wonderful.
What I didn't know is that at that point in time that I would get a chance to experience a litany of different organizations thereafter. And so I began to grow cognitively, emotionally, spiritually. I just kind of took off in terms of my understanding, and my hunger for learning grew from there.
Wonderful. Well, it seems that when we take different pathways in life and really are open to whatever the lessons are that we might learn, and they're going to be happy and sad and everything in between, they might be big or small, and we don't even realize that when we make some other decisions, like you and your family decided to come back to Southern Arizona, what you're bringing back is so much, and you may not even be thinking of it cognitively until you something happens and you say, oh yeah, you know, that was another lesson, or that reminds me of something in Colorado, or these communities really aren't that different, and here are the same kind of challenges that we're facing everywhere. And I think in the kind of work that you all do at Compass Affordable Housing is you're not just looking at housing. You're looking at the space of home, environment, of stable households, and all of the different kinds of services that are required for that to work, but also ways that you can, as experts in your fields, be able to tie together other organizations, other resources, other industries even, and create this really neat Venn diagram that probably is a little bit mobile, a little bit shifting all the time. And to put your background of sports, your background of moving to another location and really pulling from community, the background of leadership, and then applying it to, you know, I'm familiar a little bit with your background, but our listeners may not know so much about the different organizations. Maybe tell us a little bit, not only recently, where you've just come from before taking on this new role at Compass, but the kind of organizations that you started to participate in, lead, and bring together.
Yeah, when I was in Colorado, I had a chance to join a mentoring agency. And so I got a chance to see how men and women were mentoring children from age 10 to 17. Mm-hmm. And so in that relational aspect, what I learned significantly about was social capital, the impact that people were having on children and their direction in life. And most of those children were coming from socioeconomic environments that were low income, poverty ridden, some were homeless. And so you saw a significant impact on those children. By the time I got here, I had a chance to join another mentoring agency and lead that mentoring agency as the executive director and continued that work here. Mm-hmm. Transitioned from there, and I'd built two more companies. One was a local foundation. The other one was a neighborhood company focused on resourcing neighborhoods. And so merging all those companies together in order to ensure that we were putting emphasis on placing resources, community resources within neighborhoods, so that we weren't simply doing the work ourselves, but we were bringing people to the work that they were already doing in a collaborative fashion. And from there, I went on to Fort Tucson, where we were doing very similar things.
Wow. I really like that phrase, neighborhood resourcing. That's really lifting up homes, businesses, geographical areas that may or may not, maybe underserved. Mm-hmm. or sometimes, you know, there are so many communities. Tucson is such a vast spans, you know, has a big geographical footprint for one municipality, and there are lots of neighborhoods that sometimes are just in, you know, they're hidden or they're new, a lot of the burgeoning outlying communities, and they are no lesser than. They just might not be on the spotlight or in the spotlight and might not have as much attention or as much voice, and it's so important to find those little nooks and crannies and make sure that everybody's getting some attention. So it sounds like you really got down into that area area by focusing on neighborhoods. And I love that phrase. It's not zip codes, or it's not, we're not looking at it in a cold clinical way, but we're saying these are neighborhoods. These are, you know, families and people and businesses and history. Mm-hmm. Even if it's newer, there's something going on there that's driving people to be there and or stay there. And they may not be as aware from way out in the east side to way out in the west side, something like that. And I think in this day and age, with such fast-paced communication services and other things just happening so rapidly, or at least feeling that things are happening rapidly, when we can pause a minute and really connect those dots, it's so full of impact, usually in a positive way for any of the folks that are living there or the businesses that exist.
Yeah, and we see other institutions and governments and agencies doing very similar things. They take the city of Tucson with the 05 zone, the
Thrive in the 05, right?
There's a new one that's focused on what we would consider to be the south side over here. Mm-hmm. Where there, I believe it's five different neighborhoods that are being brought together to work on the same piece. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe SVP is actually one of the backbone agencies helping lead in that area also. And so very neighborhood concentric, very resource related or focused, very a lot of intentionality and a lot of community work, people working together. This doesn't get done if the community doesn't participate.
That's right. And that is a great place for us to hold for a minute, because we are already, believe it or not, on our first commercial break. So, Tony Sims, thanks for being here. And thank we you. Will pick up this conversation shortly. And Carolyn, we're going to get you in the conversation next. And we are back this morning, Rainmakers, into our next segment. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we are so excited to be speaking this morning with Tony Sims, who is the new CEO of Compass Affordable Housing. He is not new to Tucson, but newer in this role, bringing just a wealth of experience from his years in Colorado, certainly from even before that, growing up here in Tucson, so you know the community, and being able to pull together experiences from other nonprofits, some with have more of a faith-based background, but all who that have had such an impact on individuals as well as families in their neighborhoods and with the challenges that are facing a lot of communities. So, Dr. Sims, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we have in-house also Carolyn Gorse. Carolyn is Director of Community Engagement for Compass Affordable Housing, but also you have such a big, long background serving community in many different capacities. Other organizations, some have been more educational, a more educational aspect or career pathing. Some have also focused on women and children, and bringing all of that together to the kind of engagement you focus on in your roles have been really exciting at a time where housing and being able to tackle what it means to build a home, provide accessibility and affordability in the housing market, but also serve folks in their own health and wellness aspects of being at home, whether it's access to fresh food and produce, understanding what kind of volunteering opportunities might bring other stakeholders together and other members of community. There's just a whole realm, workforce and training and getting engaged with other orgs. Carolyn, you've just brought so much, so it's so nice to have you in studio.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on. What are some of the recent kind of late 2024 into where we are halfway through 2025? Some of the services goals or maybe expansions that have happened recently that now that you're welcoming your new CEO that probably are taking up a lot of conversation, I'm going to guess. These are your daily talks that are happening now with you and the team. What's going on?
Exactly. Well, over the last few years, coming out of the pandemic, we've seen an increase. I think everyone driving around our city streets has seen an increase in the number of individuals that are unhoused and struggling to find housing. Some recent studies have shown that only 32% of American families have savings to cover an emergency for 3 months. So it's not surprising that we're seeing more and more need and more people being affected coming out of the pandemic and moving forward. We've been focusing a lot on making sure that we have those support services in addition to just placing them in with a roof over their head.
And a roof over a head can make the huge difference because right. people, especially if it's longer than just a few nights or even just 1 month, we see a lot of transitional or temporary solutions in shelters, which are great. We need those services to be available when someone is facing a crisis. But as you mentioned, sometimes this is really just an economic situation. People are employed, but maybe not employed enough, or as we say, underemployed, may not even be about wages, but might be about hours, where maybe the employment is only part-time and therefore does not cover benefits. When benefits are not covered by employment, then that means those are out-of-pocket costs and have an impact to whether someone can afford to rent or even get into home ownership. And even if they're doing all the right things, something hits. Recently, we've been speaking here for many weeks on this show with different leaders and different organizations coming in that are advocating for policies, budgets, and there are hits happening all over the place in our federal and local budgets. And when there is an impact to the services that can be offered, meaning the resources that community members can count on, when that starts getting cut back, then it just exacerbates an already tight budget for everybody. So at Compass, I love the fact that you all talk about really what is the holistic picture, and against that backdrop, many different resources have to come together, financial and otherwise. Learning is a big part of that. Sometimes just knowing what your real situation is to not only hopefully keep a stiff upper lip, be able to be encouraged, have a little bit of hope, but then also do, you know, roll up some sleeves and do some tasks that not only keep the family or the individual going, but then understanding also from the organization's role, from Compass's aspect, what other things does Compass need to do? Whether that's staff, whether that's development and bringing in more money, whether that is board members and other members of community banding together in a volunteer effort. Seems like there might be lots of things that can come together. Tell us about that.
So you're absolutely right, Lydia. We have to look at the whole person and the whole family. The single mothers that we work with, it's like you said, it's not just about putting them with a roof over their heads. It's about making sure that they also have a place for their children to enter school, to stay in school engaged successfully. There's childcare, there's healthcare, there's the support after trauma, the trauma of being not just for the adult, but for the child.
Sure.
And when we're working with adults who are aging in place, many of them are living with a scarcity mindset, trying to find that place that they have the stability, the opportunity to be working with the right resources within a community, building a community. So at Compass, we're really focusing on making sure that our tenant services, our support services, are looking at the whole person and the needs of the whole person and the household. So it's very individualized. The tenant services program is woven throughout our Compass communities nice. And through our partners. And it exists because of what we were talking about earlier, because there's a sense of neighborhood.
Yes.
Creating community, creating neighborhood, creating support services that rely heavily on partnerships versus just making it a cookie cutter that everyone gets the exact same service.
And I think we all would agree, not only in this room, but in the different industries of our backgrounds, that cookie cutter is very rarely serves the greater good. It doesn't mean there can't be a commonality of some particular ingredient, if we're going to talk about cookies, which I love cookies. So some ingredients are going to be consistent and the same throughout, but the way we mix them together, the way we add flavor or lessen refined sugar and instead use honey, if we're going to have chocolate or if we're going to have vanilla or we're going to focus on fruit, all those things make a difference on the kind of offerings because people are different. Their situations are different. different. And like you said, you're dealing with the person or the family unit, as well as whatever the needs are in the background and geographic, even just looking at geography, meaning zip codes or neighborhoods, things are going to differ within that, but also neighborhood to neighborhood is, you know, the difference could be vast. So being able to have many different experienced folks on your team who can be able to quickly assess caseworker style, so that you're treating the whole situation and the person, not just hopefully not just providing a Band-Aid. So I love the name Encompass because it says directional, but multi-directional. There's a lot of coming from one side and going to another. It's not just the four directions. It's that funny little diagonal in between that's north by northwest and, you know, things of that nature. And that leads me to legacy and leadership. So from whence we've come, Compass really enjoys a very long history, has had different leaders. Obviously, Dr. Sims, with you coming in as the new CEO implies that there has been some change. So tell us a little bit about from whence Compass has come and where you're headed.
Yeah, over the last 18 years, Mary Ann Beerling has been, if you will, the founder mm-hmm. and the leader for Compass. And so she's done a great job of working with constituents throughout the city. Sure. And we applaud all the work, the foundational building that she has done. And so we know that from that perspective, we have quite a bit of foundation to work from and a direction that we want to pursue from that. But what I'm really focused on now is a plurality of leadership.
Oh, great.
Because I think that when you have a senior leadership, and they're equipped to do the job that they've been hired for, and that they can lead others, then you don't worry so much about your centrality to the organization. But don't get me wrong. Founders have to worry about the centrality of their responsibility.
Oh, sure.
But as you grow, like this organization is beginning to, you can now begin to be more pluralistic in your approach to service, right? Mm-hmm. You can distribute the work around and make sure. And so we're really focused on building our culture. That's number one for us. Can we build a strong culture? And so at the core of our culture really is, and I always, and forgive me for this, because I'm new to the organization, I chide the staff about this, but I'm still learning the core values myself.
So, well, because they feel one way, but probably the statement is pretty specific.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So respect, service, commitment, teamwork, creativity, making a difference. And I know we got to go to break, but those are the core values that we have, and that's what we're relying on to build our culture.
Well, I love that you brought it up, because that's going to be a good teaser. Listeners, be sure to stay tuned from this commercial break. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice. We are back. This is Rainmakers, which is the Monday segment of the weekday Morning Voice show, Positive Talk Radio here at KVOI. Matt Neely, you're doing great work here behind the glass. Thanks for everything that you do. And you brought us in with the great George Benson, a little breezing this morning. And in studio, we're so excited to be talking today with some great and very seasoned leaders here in Tucson. Both are Tucsonans who have made such a difference in their careers with the different kind of service and organizations that each one of them bring. We've got Dr. Tony Sims, the new CEO of Compass Affordable Housing, and Carolyn Gorse, Director of Community Engagement with Compass. Both bring a wealth of knowledge and expertise, and it's great that we're speaking this morning not only about what Compass does in the housing field, but as we talked about a little bit at our when we first came on the air this morning, that June is National Housing Month, and a lot of people don't know that. Sometimes it's referred to as National Home Ownership Month as well. And as we build households and try to build some stability for families and individuals, including our seniors and our veterans and folks with special needs, households aren't always owned, but they are led by the person or the family within that. And being able to help provide resources, training, advice, guidance, and sometimes just that glimmer of hope into a household can make all the difference for keeping it stable. And when we have stability, then we have wellness. And that helps create a more well-being in the community, create safer, more stable community. And boy, if we ever had a time as now, with so much going on in the economy, so many things happening in the backdrop nationally as well as locally, with policy changes, with budget changes, and going into summer is always an interesting time. People get a little anxious and maybe a little cranky with the heat, which or get nervous about it. You know, it's nice to be able to say that we've got resources like Compass and the staff, as well as the board and volunteers of Compass Affordable Housing, the stakeholders at large, that really try to tackle this. Because after all, housing is healthcare, meaning that if we have stability in the housing, we've got some well-being going on. So with all that and the legacy change, we talked a little bit about Mary Ann Bierling and her longstanding leadership role with Compass, helping to expand, do new builds, provide different kinds of resources, federal grants, and all of this great stuff that's happened over the last couple of decades. Now, Tony, when we are looking ahead to see what Compass is about, it's not just about the four facilities here in Pima County. There's also some exciting things going on in Pinal County and Eloy, I believe. Mm-hmm. And what else might be on the horizon that you're looking at to start tackling?
Yeah, one of the things we want to really focus on from a housing perspective is we want to begin to venture into tiny homes. And the reason is because we believe, number one, they're affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they have a quicker turnaround than larger apartment complexes.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, there is a sense of individuality in those homes that can be meshed with what we would think about as Compass communities, where we are adding support services to that. And so you multiply that, people are learning to live together in smaller groups. And mm-hmm. as you know, anytime you add, from your studies, anytime you add six or more people to a group, the group begins to fragment.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can keep the groups, the communities, in smaller units, what happens? They build social capital with each other, they build relationships with each other, and they build a sense of trust. And so in the future, we're looking at really building tiny homes. So we're just at the forefront of that.
That's really exciting news. The smaller footprint homes, which mm-hmm. there's a whole variety. I think a few years ago when people heard tiny homes, there was a trend to really literally go tiny, and I mean tiny, and for all the reasons that you said. For some folks, it meant affordability, or that literally they could pick up their home and go,
mm-hmm.
But in a different way, a little bit differently from mobile homes, mm-hmm. if you will, or a little bit differently from just manufactured homes that sat in certain parks or communities. And now, tiny homes or smaller footprint abodes are all over the place. There's lots of different versions, I guess is what I want to say. And here in Tucson with the Casita initiatives and being able to have better zoning and applicability, and not just here in Southern Arizona, but all over the place, but particularly in this footprint, seems like there's a lot of way to then leverage space that's available.
Right. And the other thing that you have to mix with that, you have to mix support services with that. And so while we know that our partnerships involves apartment complexes, property managers, and we try our best to work with them to ensure that we get tenant services placed in our own properties, we want to expand that to additional properties that we're partnering with.
Good.
Because the more resources we can resource into that community, the better that community begins to thrive. And so without that, people are kind of left to their own devices, fighting their own wars individually, as opposed to collectively growing together. Let me throw a stat.
And learning from each other.
And
please do. Quick. I love stats.
Okay. So we were looking at some of the trend data here from 2007 to 2024 for the homeless environment. And so if you look at 2020 all the way through 2023, we saw a 68% increase in the number of people experiencing homelessness.
Wow.
That's pandemic era mm-hmm. time frame, but it's a significant number. And this is Southern Arizona, Pima County. We were the fastest growing in terms of being impacted in terms of homelessness throughout the state.
Oh my goodness. And I bet a lot of people don't really know that. I mean, they might feel it because they see things, but they don't know what to compare it to. But to know that the fastest growing in an area that we we don't want it to be happening. Right. You know, we'd rather tackle that and do something about it.
And the city and county, they did respond in significant ways. In 2007, we were dealing with 3,200 people experiencing homelessness. By the time we got to 2010, we had 3,643 people experiencing.
Wow.
But I'd remind us that the county themselves has really focused on this ideal of infusing more capital into our community in the form of, I believe it's, what did they put down? $15 million in gap funding for 1,300 units. And then they just recently approved $250 million more dollars for the city itself, which is the housing authority, has also responded, right? They've got 1,500 units of affordable housing, but they've also got an additional 450 of below market affordable housing. So we need those things to get people sheltered. Number one. But number two, we've got to put support services along with those things
so people
can grow and grow in psychologically, psychosocially, and cognitively.
I love your attention to the difference of that because as I have said often on this show and also out in community, that really community development is a team sport. Compass Affordable Housing looks at this as an ecosystem, not just one service or one model. Cookie cutters are a good place to start, but then being able to tailor solutions for the better social impact to reach more people where they are. Mm-hmm. And where people are is not necessarily when someone is facing or is at risk of being without a home. It is not necessarily the most severe of circumstances. It can be just that little difference, as we were speaking about early in the show, of finances being just not quite enough savings, or one thing goes wrong with the car, or again, if you don't have health care and or access to health resources and medical resources, and you have to pay out of pocket, then and then something happens with a tire goes, you know, you need two more tires, or you have to register your car once a year, and you know that just may be, you know, $200 or $300 that breaks the bank. And those kind of things mean looking at this holistically and slicing and dicing and bringing people together who may be able to utilize more expertise in that area, and therefore take the burden off of Compass having itself to come up with that solution. Instead, they can find an expert as a partner and walk down the street a little more hand in hand.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we stay to what our core competencies are, right? And we don't want to deviate from that.
Right.
We want partnerships that deliver their core competencies to a constituency that's located in an apartment complex or small communities or whatever that looks like, through our community housing program, through our tenant services program. Mm-hmm. When we have a collaborative ecosystem, then what we'll end up with is more services being delivered to more people.
And meeting those needs. You know, you spoke about in our last segment about the core values, mm-hmm. and I think we want to say those again here. Let me see if I have them right. I might not have them in the right order, but I think I understand. Because you all exude this so much. I mean, this has been prevalent in the mission of Compass Affordable Housing, and that is respect, teamwork, creativity, commitment, service, and making a difference. And all of those things are distinct, but they come together so nicely. They really fill all of those gaps. We're about getting ready for our next commercial break, but I do want to just emphasize again that Compass Affordable Housing, I'm going to emphasize Compass, multi-directional, coming from, heading toward, and also being able to orient everybody around where we're headed so that they can find their way on how they can participate, mm-hmm. whether it is your staff, a donor, or a colleague or fellow company out in community that also has some expertise to lend. So as we go into our next break, we're going to talk a little bit when we come back about now some specific programs that Compass has to offer that the rest of the community may or may not know about. We want to make sure they do. So stay tuned. This is Rainmakers on KVOI, The Morning Voice. And we're back after that last commercial break. This is Lydia Aranda, your host for the Monday segment of The Morning Voice called Rainmakers. And we know that rain is a little bit in the forecast, hopefully for tomorrow. Matt Neely, that's always
more
good
so
news.
More so Cochise County and Douglas, but I think it's sneaking towards us.
I think it is, yeah, and wouldn't that be great? I love Sonoran rainstorms.
I'm just glad it's not 108 degrees today. So.
Exactly. Let's keep that off as far as we can, and I just love the rain. So we're trying to make Make It Rain here in studio with opportunities for community. And those opportunities come with such longstanding legacy and legendary programs as like those available at Compass Affordable Housing. In studio, we have Dr. Tony Sims, who is CEO of Compass, and Carolyn Gorse, who's Director of Community Engagement. And we've been speaking for this first hour. It's gone so quickly, but we've been talking about kind of from whence we've come. What's Compass been up to? What are the core values that are keeping Compass not only stable but growing and being part of this great ecosystem that we call life, and the role that it plays in helping different neighborhoods resource different families find more stability, but also then how those families or individuals can go on to do other things in their home environments as well as outside of their home. All of that stuff requires attention, donors, funding, vision. We not only have it here with the two that are in studio with us today, but really what Compass represents, but also in that is a dependency on stakeholders and partners and people who may be expert in other areas outside of what Compass offers. And that's what makes this whole opportunity such a stable one. Carolyn, tell us a little bit about, in your community engagement role, you not only are looking at development and finding ways to, of course, bring funding or other kind of support in-kind support, volunteer support, financial support, but in looking at what that means, how do you identify some of the best partners? And then tell us a little bit about one of the partners that's going to be coming on in the next hour.
Absolutely. Well, as we talked about earlier in the show, our tenant service program, it is our bridge. It is the support services that are individualized for each family, each person, each household. And each household has different needs. Some of them are coming in, they're adults aging in place that need to identify, do I have the right health care? Am I working with the right doctor? And we want the subject matter expert to be working with them, so we identify community partners that can talk about Medicare, Medicaid, whether they are on the right insurance plan, whether they're taking advantage of the services that are part of the plan they're paying for.
Sure.
You know, we just don't know what we don't know as human beings. For single moms, it might be upskilling, getting them plugged into Pima Community College, having the right person talking to them about the opportunity to go back to school and fulfill a dream. We have many of our participants and residents that do discover that they have the opportunity to go to school and upskill and move themselves and their family into a more economically stable position because they had a door open to education.
Wonderful.
And partnering with community financial experts, because we aren't born knowing how to manage money.
Of course not.
Right? So we have to have that training, and we have to have that opportunity to learn, how do we plan ahead? How do we start saving? How do we recover our debt?
And how do we maybe just plan the simplest of monthly recurring expense,
exactly,
whatever that might be? It might be food, it might be power and electricity, it might be gas, it might be fuel for the car, you know, gas,
exactly,
in home, but also gas in our car or whatever other, it might be affording transportation differently than having a car.
Exactly. You know, and of course, utilities, because
yes,
utilities becomes of every, we need it. We don't want our residents or our participants to be making a choice between putting food in the fridge and paying their utility bills. And so learning how to budget becomes very important.
Sure.
And partners like Tucson Electric Power become essential in they have so many great programs that allow people to get that individual attention to learn how they can save on their electricity or how they can budget, their budget billing program. They become an essential partner for us because they're lifting people up and lifting people out of past experiences that have had negative consequences.
Well, and that's such a great thing and a great example. TEP really has such a variety, like you said, of opportunities, of trainings, of information that is easily accessible. And a lot of people may not know that. They might be intimidated. Oh, I don't want to call the utility company because of this, that, or the other, but don't know that perhaps they could participate in a webinar or other, another kind of training session on financial stability, on financial responsibility, and start to learn some of those fiscal. They might even get interested because maybe they don't really understand what a vast amount of marketing or communications or policy, other kinds of things that might lead to a career for themselves in the industry as well. So it's so good to know that we've got partners like TEP out there in their corporate and industry leadership, but also that are giving back and take it very seriously to give back. Absolutely. Volunteer, the employees volunteer, and they go out and provide services as well. And our next segment, just letting our listeners know to please hold on for the second hour as well, because not only will both Dr. Sims, you and Carolyn are going to be here in continuing in studio, but we're going to have Wendy Erica Worden from TEP, who is Manager of Community Investment and Philanthropy, joining us by phone remotely to continue the conversation about what it is in this team sport we call community development and providing or ensuring that affordable housing is available and accessible to so many employed, maybe underemployed, older, younger, veterans, all kinds of folks, just families who are living here in community. TEP plays a big role. So we're very glad that you have selected to have them on as your one of your community partners and to keep the conversation going. What else might we tell in this last minute before we go off into our next commercial break? What kind of teaser before we come to our second hour?
Well, I'd invite our listeners to come back to hear more about how we value the partnership that we have with TEP to create brighter futures for everyone.
That sounds great. Powering up, making it brighter. Please stay tuned. And in the meanwhile, if you have a question or want to call in with a comment or question, the phone number is 520-790-2040. And we'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice. Good morning. We are back for the second hour of our Monday segment. It is June 23rd. And in studio for our Rainmaker show, we have Dr. Tony Sims, the new CEO of Compass Affordable Housing. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
And we also have Carolyn Gorse, who's Director of Community Engagement for Compass Affordable Housing. Carolyn, nice to have you back again.
Hello.
And now joining us for this next hour, we have via phone Wendy Erica Worden, who is Manager of Community Investment and Philanthropy for Tucson Electric Power, TEP. Wendy, it's so nice to have you joining us this morning. How are you?
I am great, and thank you so much for having me join you in this really important conversation. You've got some wonderful guests, and Lydia, you're always a great host, so thanks for letting me join you.
Well, thanks so much for being here, and we've been talking over the last hour about Compass from a background perspective, as well as what's going on contemporarily in concurrently with so many issues that are happening in community that are about housing and household and stability for individuals and families who may be focused on their housing needs. So a little bit about legacy and leadership is where we were talking about. And now in this next hour, we are going to speak a little bit more about strategic alliances and stakeholders. And Wendy Erica, that's where you come in so many different ways. You have been such a staple in community and such a strong leader who is helping to bring together so many different causes and initiatives, not only individually in your own expertise and your care for community, but formally in your role with TEP. You really have your finger on the pulse of what's going on and how TEP can continue to play a role in that. And that's what we're really excited about talking in this next hour. So tell us a little bit, for listeners who may be not as familiar with you and your fabulousness as we are, tell us a little bit about what you do in your role and how community investment and engagement and philanthropy have a place between TEP and community. So tell us about a day in the life of Wendy Erica.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Lydia. Well, really, I do have to say it is, I feel very honored and humbled to work in the role that I do at Tucson Electric Power Company. We've been a community partner providing electricity in the greater Pima County area for more than 128 years. So we really do have that depth of commitment and being a strong community partner. But it really comes down to, what can we do when everyone is our customers? How can we make that strategic difference in the community? And as you said, we are one of many, many stakeholders that live here and work here and are concerned about this entire community being successful. So I came back to Tucson Electric Power in 2015 as the manager of community investment. I had worked around. I've been in Pima County since 1995. And one of the things that we looked at across the company of Tucson Electric Power was, where can we make a difference? Where can we move the needle? There are so many wonderful parts of our community that are in need. But if we're really going to try to make that difference, where can we focus our efforts? So the largest part of the we invest about $2.1 million in Pima County through Tucson Electric Power. And I also think it's very important to note that the funding that comes are shareholder funds. These are funds that do not come from your rates. These actually come from the money that our shareholders invest into the community every year. And in 2024 and in 2025, as I said, that's about $2.1 million. The largest percentage of that is in our focus area that we're talking about today, which is really our community vitality. A lot of that is focusing on basic needs. How do we give people the food that they need so that they're not hungry? How do we make sure they've got stability in their family and have a roof over their heads? And we really work with our community partners, Compass Affordable Housing being one. So for the last, really, ever since the pandemic, our focus has been, how do we focus on that family stability? And as I'm sure you've been talking about, you know, over the last hour, is really the core of stable families and stable units in Southern Arizona is having a place where people can come home to. People can, you know, wash their clothes. People can cook their dinner. People can help their kids with their homework. People can take care of maybe an elderly parent. Mm-hmm. And all that starts with having effective, cost-effective housing. And that is one of the key roles that Compass Affordable Housing plays. And we're so eager and happy to have this relationship.
That is so fantastic, and I really love how you explained that, Wendy, Erica, that it's all about community vitality. And I love your distinction, you know, to make sure that people understand that the kind of money that's going back, being able to be invested back into community, as you said, is shareholder funds. This is not about changes in rates or things of that nature. It is really where the shareholders are deciding to invest the funds that are there and put it back into the vitality of community, such a powerful word. There is a play. I'm going to have a little fun with some of the play. You know, vitality is usually bright and strong, and so obviously that says power, and TEP being able to be that power source. But what you're also really saying is the health and wellness that's going on there, the fiscal, the acumen that individuals can have in their own life choices, in their own decisions, their own situations, and that it's always a pathway of growing and learning more and being stronger. You can't see it right now, Wendy, but unless you're watching us on Facebook Live, which, by the way, folks can be watching us on live streaming here, and both Carolyn and Tony are nodding, and so is Matt behind the glass. We're all kind of nodding at what you're saying, that this kind of investment by organizations that do have the wherewithal to give back and to give into. TEP is just doing such a great job, and there are so many things. I remember also in a lot of the different hats that I've worn over the years and been with different organizations over the years, TEP has played such a vital role, sometimes in doing things that might seem simple, but they make all the difference, like providing trash bins at community events or at marches and walks and schools, being able to put your own employees employee teams out into volunteering to different and giving of their time and talents in different ways. So I'm seeing Tony nod a lot to that. Is that some of the kind of things that you're excited about, Tony, coming into this role and knowing that you have a strong partner like TEP?
Yeah, I mean, we can't do this work without partners like TEP who not just are focused on what we do, but they're focused on the fabric of what's happening in our community and making investments in multiple nonprofits across the city mm-hmm. and across the county to ensure that people have access to resources. We are enthralled with the opportunity to partner with them, but more importantly, we just love the fact that they're engaged in delivering services to the community.
Yes. Carolyn, you and Wendy Erica also have a long history of tackling community issues and coming up with solutions together. Tell us a little bit about what excites you about Wendy Erica and TEP being such a strong, good stakeholder and partner to Compass Affordable Housing in the mission, especially in the mission that involves teamwork and creativity and service. Sounds like together you're all making a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been very, very blessed to be able to work with Wendy Erica over the last few years. So fabulous opportunity here. We are excited about, what I'm most excited about is the opportunity that we have to increase the capacity of our tenant services for the residents and participants themselves. As we were talking about in the first segment, it all goes back to education. It goes back to what we as human beings may or may not have learned, and helping people to connect, not get the tools so they have the knowledge to make good decisions, to be able to be a part, have a partner that is investing in the community to create strong neighborhoods. And that's what I've seen with partnerships with TEP in past roles, is that we are giving people the tools. We're not just doing a catchphrase or, you know, a flyer handout. It's
sure.
actually knowledge building, skill building, and mm-hmm. giving them the opportunity to take that information and make a better life for themselves.
That's so fantastic. And Wendy, Erica, I think it also goes, I don't want to say goes without saying, but we should say and remind our listeners and remind the community at large that even though TEP, Tucson Electric Power, is headquartered here in Tucson, your services go throughout Pima County, but even beyond. You're in Santa Cruz County, you're even up north in the Flagstaff area. So when you look at, in your role, steering and helping with your colleagues at TEP make choices about investment into community and creating more vitality, you are doing that in a multi-county basis, correct?
We are. And so we've got our sister company is Unisource Energy, mm-hmm. And they provide both gas and electric services in select counties across Arizona. So we are gas and electric down into Santa Cruz. We have gas and electric up in Havasu and the Kingman area. And then we get into natural gas territories up in Cottonwood, Flagstaff, and Sholo. So we really do look at this from a statewide perspective. Is our focus areas across the state stay consistent. It is that community vitality. The other three areas that we support are education and workforce development, the environment, and then kind of equity in underserved communities. So each one of our service territories has folks there that we help them make local decisions with the community partners that are in their service territories, just like we do work with Compass Affordable Housing. And like I think it's so brilliant that that Carolyn, the point that she brings as well is continuing that that family education and that resident education. Some of the things that I absolutely love about Compass Affordable Housing are, you know, what they do and the knowledge that they share with families who may be facing eviction and how they can help with eviction prevention and resources. So a lot of that goes to that, what Carolyn was saying, that knowledge sharing is that the community feels like they've got a partner that they can trust on and rely that has a proven track record of what they can do and the families that they can impact to keep people from getting so far behind the eight ball that they get to that point of eviction. If we can prevent that from happening and we can work with Compass Affordable Housing to keep people in their homes, that's a win for everybody and a win for the community.
It sure is, and I think you said it so perfectly. And that's a great place for us to pause a moment as we go into our next commercial break. You're listening to Rainmakers. It's Monday, June 23rd, here on The Morning Voice, KVOI The Voice. And we're back, and we definitely have the power. Thank you, Matt Mealy, bringing up SNAP and the power.
Because
gotta love it. Gotta love it, Wendy Erica. That was just right there as a tribute to all that TEP does to fuel and power up opportunities for our families, our students, our youth, our small businesses, and certainly folks who are working in community organizations to make all those things possible. We've been saying all along that community development is a team sport, and Compass Affordable Housing definitely is focused on the ecosystem, not only in which housing and stability of housing and creating resilient, stable, well, and safe households, but in the policy that goes into that, in the development and philanthropy that is required, and in the team members and colleagues who help make that happen. Stakeholders and supporters are so important to this cause, and TEP is definitely a leader in that aspect. Wendy Erica, I was so excited when you were talking earlier about community vitality, that is a focus that TEP is investing in. And that means so many things. Certainly we've talked about the knowledge, the training, the information that gets shared, but also opening up hope through pathways that come from some of that learning and training, fiscal responsibility, and breaking it down so that it's not so daunting or overwhelming for individuals or families who may be facing a particular financial challenge, but the resources that TEP can help provide, not only in tackling extensions or other programs to help with billing and help customers work through that. But the fact that you do team up with organizations like Compass to hold sessions on budgeting, on how to plan for paying for utilities, or how to keep in mind as folks are doing maybe the exciting thing of buying a home, being first-time homeowners, how they can plan around some of their needs. So it seems to me that vitality is in the knowledge, as well as in some of the straightforward causes like food and those kind of household basics. So what are some of your favorites, Wendy Erica, like stories or programs that you have seen or maybe that you've created for TEP out in community?
Well, I think you mentioned it a little bit earlier, too, is there is the fiscal support that TEP provides to our community partners. But then there is also the volunteer aspect of what we do. We have a whole entire separate budget that is set aside for our employees who sit on boards, who sit on committees, who participate in things throughout the community. And they come back to us and tell us, you know, I'd love to get a team together to go support a certain nonprofit and the activities that they do. So that part of working with organizations to say it is more than just the funding. It is more than just the, here's the check. What we really try to do is not only through our volunteer programs get active and engaged, but in working with organizations like Compass Affordable Housing, it's an amazing conduit for us to really know what's going on in the community. And I think that's the partnership. That's another part of being a good, you know, knowing what is the vitality or what is maybe possibly causing the vitality to have a flex, which is, I think, what mm-hmm. we're going through right now in our current situation, where it's going to take all of us working together. It can't, you know, just be Compass Affordable Housing and the housing community and just one or two of the businesses in town. It takes all of us working together to really address what is the current need that's going on, and then how can we address it. And I just think, you know, Compass has done such a great job as well. And you mentioned it earlier, Lydia. It's about collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I really think that one of the great things that Compass has done is being that team player, working with the city of Tucson, working with Pima County, working with the Arizona Department of Housing to really assist families and help them, you know, move from potential homelessness to stable housing, or, you know, have them understand what their household resources are to say, you know, you need to budget for your utilities. You need to budget for your, you know, your living expenses. You need to budget for your rent and understand that how that all fits together. And I think that is something that is just they're a special and a unique role that Compass plays in knowing how to work with those other partners.
So well said. And the role, the fact that TEP not only recognizes that, but finds ways to support that. The theme I'm hearing in so much of this is really about human development. When we're focusing on community, we are working with people. You know, full stop, period, end of sentence. But the human development in safe spaces is a particular strength of Compass Affordable Housing. Tony, tell us a little bit more about what that means to you, what you think the community housing and tenant services, which are the technical deliverables from Compass Affordable Housing, but it's so much more because it really is about human development itself and doing that in safe spaces. What is that? You know, what might our listeners learn a little bit more about when you talk about safe spaces?
Yeah, if you conceptualize, there's always that annoying person in a group that talks theoretically. I'm going to be that person right now. So,
well, we've had our coffee, so go right ahead.
Okay. So when you're thinking about human development and you're thinking about it from a hierarchical perspective, Maslow comes to mind immediately, sure. Right? You're thinking about this building block process whereby first you need to take care of your physical needs. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the first things that we do through our community housing program is we address the physical needs. Let's get people connected to apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. Let's get them connected to a shelter, if you will. Once they're in there, we then provide what we would lovingly call case management, right? We're focused on helping them with their daily process. What does your budget look like? What community resources do you have? Who's your social network? Those are all building blocks to the next step, right, into safety, because we need to be in a position where we're free from fear mm-hmm. of losing our place or somebody hurting us, whatever the case may be. Once you can take care of those bottom two, physical and safety, then you'll get up into the social aspects. And remember earlier we were talking about the month of all the different events during the month?
Sure.
Right? Those are all
the
social.
The national whatever
That's
month.
Right.
Yeah.
We're connected to mm-hmm. each other. We're building and growing from one another. That leads to a sense of self-esteem, right? We're still going up the ladder here, which then leads to self-actualization. So what TEP and all the other agencies do when they're connecting with nonprofits and government, they're helping to help people move up that ladder, if right. you will, of Maslow's ladder. Not to be forgotten is the human development aspect of, right, physical, psychosocial, and cognitive. And so we're really focused on our programs doing that, helping build up that ladder, whether it's community housing or tenant services.
Fantastic. And I think you put it nicely that, again, there are multiple levels. And Carolyn, I think when there have been opportunities for you, Wendy, Erica, and I to talk about other or recognize out in community other initiatives or other organizations that also play key roles in perpetuating this kind of development, perpetuating the opportunities for and strengthening the opportunities for individuals, families, or business owners to engage in their own success. That sounds great. Those are great words on a page, if you will. Those are great lyrics. But what does it really mean in practice? Well, it means organizations like TEP, Compass, media, like what we're doing today, you know, getting the word out, but also helping people know that there are steps that can be taken and encouraging them to take those first steps. And once they get in the system, you know, hopefully keeping them engaged so that folks will continue in their own, participating in their own development. I think that's kind of what you're doing in engagement when you bring other stakeholders and organizations and sponsors and donors, because all of those are different. They are all needed in the success of an organization like Compass. And TEP needs the Compasses of the worlds as well for their own success. So it's all a good game where there's mutual benefit.
100%. This isn't a solo act. We have to work together to make sure we set a successful pathway for the people to move through each level.
Great. Well, we're going to continue that thought as soon as we come back from our next commercial break. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice, KVOI, 10:30 a.m. And we're back for our second half hour of our second hour of our Monday segment here, Monday, June 23rd already. We're really going through June fast, aren't we, Matt?
Indeed.
It's happening quickly, like they say. So excited to continue this conversation on our Rainmakers Monday segment with such leading organizations as Community Affordable Housing. We've got Tony Sims, the new CEO, and Carolyn Gorse, the Director of Community Engagement. And also joining us remotely is Wendy Erica Weirden from TEP. She is the Manager of Community Investment and Philanthropy. And we were talking right before the break, Carolyn and Wendy, about, again, human development, safe spaces. We did some theoretical about what that represents in community and individually. And Carolyn, right before we went on our break, you were also talking about the collaboration that comes together with some of those opportunities, community vitality, and that to me brings to mind food. I know that is food and nutrition is a big part of the offerings and the attentions of tenant services through Compass Affordable Housing. Not only in the fiscal management, the budget for groceries and things of that nature that both you and Wendy Erica were talking about, the attention to the fiscal part of it, but then there are also other opportunities to help people be better informed to make better choices. Better meaning knowing what they need, and with the myriad of options that they may think they have or not think they have, this can be a real eye-opener for people to for example, start to pay attention to fresh produce, mm-hmm. which might be new to some people. They just may have lived in food deserts where they don't have access to as many grocery stores or gardens or places where fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains and things like that are available. But then it also can be daunting because then they might be thinking in their head, I can't eat all this fresh fruit and vegetables. They may not understand the opportunity to cook or to package, to prepare and freeze and use it at a future date, things like that. But you have a lot of those kinds of training and classes as well, do you not?
So we actually are very lucky to partner with several other organizations to provide fresh fruits, vegetables, produce, whole grains to our communities, as well as to partners within the community. Mm-hmm. And it's called Your Healthy Home Market.
Your Healthy Home Market. There's the word I was looking for.
There it is. And it's part of our tenant service program. But the bigger part that it does is food, housing, safety, those are basic needs. Mm-hmm. When we start moving up the ladder and looking at getting people to be able to be stable and looking at stabilization as also building self-esteem and self-actualization, mm-hmm. what we are also trying to give people the tools to do is to make those smart decisions, to know what's out there for them so that they can utilize the budget billing, like TEP offers to set up their household budget, utilize your healthy home market for fresh produce, and utilize our cooking classes and training classes that are offered through a multiple of community partners so that all together they have the puzzle pieces to create the life they dream of, not be stuck in the same system that is cycling into poverty.
Got it. So in other words, you're helping to reverse that cycle, go
Correct.
In a new direction. So if it's spiraling up instead of down.
Spiral up.
Yep. And trying to really lift people by having options and choices. And I think at the end of the day, that's what helps everybody. And you don't know what your options are if you don't know what your options are. And so this is a way of tackling that, perhaps a mind block, if you will, by making sure that the information is out there. That's something that Rainmakers, that's kind of the whole purpose. We're trying to help folks understand who and what is going on that can help our families and community thrive here in Southern Arizona and beyond, but also make sure to get the message out in different ways so that people know that they can get involved. Tell us a little bit more about the Healthy Home Market. Is that something that happens? So Compass right now has four communities in the greater Tucson area. So do you offer healthy home markets to each of those facilities at a certain time? Is it recurring? And then how does someone or how does a company like TEP come into play, or others, Pima Community College and other groups?
Great question. So for our Your Healthy Home Market, every Tuesday, it's held at a different one of our sites. Okay. And it is basically a fresh food market for our participants and residents to be able to go and get healthy foods, healthy recipes. We rely on community partners to help us with the education pieces, to mm-hmm. help us with the food handouts. We also get to partner with several community partners that provide fresh flowers as well as pet foods, so that
the four-legged taily ones get a little nutrition too.
Right, so many of our older adults aging in place depend on their furry friend to be their family, to be their companion, and not having to make a decision on how they're going to feed their best friend becomes a very essential part of their well-being. So that happens every Tuesday at our different property sites. And our community partners, the second half of your question, they get involved by being both the hands that help us distribute as well as being the subject matter experts on sharing information that people may not have access to, so that each individual can become a more vibrant part of their own community and neighborhood.
That's fantastic. So quick question, if people want to find out how to either volunteer by coming and helping you distribute, it sounds like distribute, or maybe mm-hmm. man the tables, if you will, as people are coming to, and are they purchasing the food, or is this available without cost to your tenants?
It is without cost to our tenants and participants.
That's fantastic. So I think that's a key right there, because even though you say this to the people who come and apply and then live in your facilities, they may not be reading fine print. You know, their focus might just be on my unit, I've got a place to be, a place to live, and things like that, and then forget that every Tuesday, either at their own facility or at one of the other facilities that you have, that they can participate and come and get free, without cost, that kind of food, fruits, vegetables, grains, like you said, and maybe even flowers, maybe even some food for their animal. That, I'm sure, is dependent on a strong relationship. So Wendy, Erica, and Tony, you know, what are some of your thoughts about when services like this are being provided? I'm sure there's some pride, but also some coordination that's going on. How does that work? Wendy, Erica, how does that work for TEP to get involved in things like this?
Well, I think what it creates is it creates stability, right? And mm-hmm. that's the one thing that I think everybody looks for in their lives. There's so many things that go on a daily basis, getting to work on time, making sure everything is taken care of. You know, it sounds like, you know, with this incredible market, it checks one more box that someone doesn't have to wonder where their food is going to be coming from, or what right. they're going to be making for dinner that night. But that's really, you know, tying it to what is, you know, concerning for your listeners, is providing a services like this helps make them show up work more ready to work, mm-hmm. has children show up at school more ready to learn. And that is really by looking at this very holistic approach as we're going up. I mean, Tony did a great job of talking about that hierarchy of needs. And once those are met and we keep spiraling up, as Carolyn was talking about, what we're able to do is then, if you know, hey, mom or dad are in at one of these communities as a senior, where they're building that sense of community, your stability, where you are, your quality of life improves. So it really is this very holistic way that when we're paying attention to all of these basic needs and giving people the ability for this self-actualization, they have the opportunity to grow and thrive.
Absolutely. So well said. Tony, thoughts on that? How does this connect? Maybe let me ask you about your thoughts of how this connects to your goals and outcomes that Compass is focusing on.
Yeah, we've established four goals for ourselves, right? The first one is develop a strong and durable agency. Okay. We know that if we don't do that, everything else wobbles.
Mind the store.
The second one is become the best workplace in Tucson. Yes, I know that's grandiose, but that's what we believe for ourselves.
Absolutely. If you don't see it, you're not going to be it. So right. You got to see it.
And for us, that means taking care of our employees. So it becomes an inviting environment. We want to also connect with interns throughout the city because we think they're our next workforce is mm-hmm. ready to work. Mm-hmm. A third one is deliver efficacious results to multiple audiences. We've got a lot of different constituencies and we need to be delivering for each of those constituencies. Whether it's a person who's taking advantage of the service, whether it's a volunteer or a donor, a partner agency, we need to put our attention into serving them. We're a service-oriented organization. The last one is partner with people who share our desired outcomes for affordable housing. And so for us—
It means a lot of things to a lot of people.
A lot of things to a lot of people. And I won't take up our time with that just now. But we really want to make sure that we've set good goals for ourselves and we reach those goals.
Well, those are big, big but attainable goals. And yes, a big topic, affordable housing. So let's take our next break here. You're listening to Rainmakers on KVOI, The Morning Voice. And we are going to talk a little bit more about that when we get back.
So I got a smile out of Lydia, so I know that she likes this one too.
Absolutely. Loving the Temptations, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. And isn't that true for all of us? We've had such a wonderful morning this June 23rd on Rainmakers. In studio have been Tony Sims, the new CEO for Compass Affordable Housing, Carolyn Gorse, Director of Community Engagement for Compass Affordable Housing. And we're also joined remotely by Wendy Erica Weirden, who is the Manager of Community Investment and Philanthropy for TEP. So excited to have all three of you. Wendy, we were speaking right before the break about opportunities to engage, the role that stakeholders play in joining key organizations like Compass, the fact that when we all come together in collaborative ways, and we learned so many good lessons during a terrible time of world pandemic, and now a few years later, there's really a lot of world economy that is affecting all of our individuals, all of our students, our youth, our elderly, and our families. We need to continue to pay attention to how we collaborate. And I think you and the TEP team are doing such a great job in leading so that people don't have to be too proud to beg. Linking it back to that song there. But in all seriousness, you know, if folks are wondering how to find out more about what TEP offers by way of this kind of community investment, where would they find out more, Wendy Erica?
Sure. Well, there are three things that I really think are important for us to tie this all together. All of our programs are at TEP.com. We've got wonderful services. Some of the things that Carolyn mentioned a little bit earlier, budget billing is a fantastic program. Mm-hmm. They look at your year's worth of history and will even out so that you're paying a consistent amount every year. I think that every month, that makes it very easy for people to predict and plan and budget, which I think is critical for people as they're learning how to manage their household budgets. Another program, and this is with another one of our community partners, is our HERO program. It's HEERO. Mm-hmm. And that's where you simply round up your bill every month, if it's, you know, whatever the odd amount is, to take it up to the next dollar amount, or you can put an extra dollar on if you want to. Those funds go directly 100%. You know, TEP doesn't do anything but write, you know, tally that amount. And then we make a donation to the Salvation Army, who manages that program.
Okay.
They help with bill assistance and many of the amazing things, like the services that Compass Housing provides. But I really want to make sure that folks also know to please take advantage of their Arizona tax credits and fund them directly to a local program like Compass Affordable Housing. It is one of the ways that we can keep our dollars right here in Southern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thankfully, most of us have hopefully sunsetted or thinking about taxes for at least a couple months. But in thinking about that as we're going forward, the Arizona State Tax Credit is one of the most perfect ways that each person can take individual action to help the nonprofit, just like Compass Affordable Housing, change lives every single day.
So well put. And individual action counts. It's just like voting and so many other things that you may think one person or one action doesn't make a difference, but it really does, because it comes together with others. I know the pennies, I think, aren't going to be produced anymore, but those pennies really do add up. So it's about the collective impact. Wendy, Erica, thank you so much for explaining that. Carolyn and Tony, if folks want to know more about how to engage with Compass, how to donate to Compass, or if they're looking to take advantage of and participate in some of your programs, tell us what they need to know. Is it a phone number? Is it an email these days? What's the best way for them to find out more?
Always the best way is to send us over an email at info@compassaffordablehousing.org.
Great.
And thank you to Wendy, Erica. The tax credit is a fantastic way for each of us to think about keeping our dollars and our impact local. And many people don't realize that you can also set up a monthly giving program to budget in your tax credit as part of your philanthropy. So as a charitable organization, Compass Affordable Housing can help you do that.
Isn't that so important also? Because again, every little bit counts. And so you don't have to be, you know, a gazillionaire to be able to give back and to give of your own treasure. So time, talent, and treasure, that's what it's all about. I thank you all for sharing your time and talent with us this morning, for our listeners. Tony, let's wrap it up with you. What final word might we have for our listeners today on how to do more with Compass Affordable Housing?
Yeah, I'd keep an eye out for our website. We are really focused on building a large ecosystem, multi-layered mm-hmm. ecosystem with a lot of different players. That means that we have to spend time in the community talking to people. What role do they want to play in solving this issue surrounding human development? And so the partners that we have now and going forward will be very communicative with one another to ensure that we're addressing the issue at hand. We don't want to be in a vacuum. We need partners, and so we're committed to that.
That's fantastic. And again, congratulations on your new role. Thank you. Exciting to learn a little bit more about your background, being over in Colorado and coming back again. And it's fantastic that you're in this role, visionary, committed, active, proactive, and inclusive. All those things make a difference as we all work together to build more community. You've been listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice at KVOI, The Voice. Wishing everybody a fabulous week. And thanks again for listening. And we'll be back next week with more guests and more community. You're listening to Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda.